Prabhupada. As freshly prepared food is very tasteful, but if kept for 3 or 4 hours, becomes stale and tasteless. So the existence of the material enjoyment can endure as long as life is fresh. But at the fag end of life, everything becomes tasteless, and everything appears to be in vain and painful. The life of Emperor Svayambhuva Manu, however, was not tasteless. As he grew older, his life remained as fresh as in the beginning because of his continued Krishna consciousness. The life of a man in Krishna consciousness is always fresh. It is said that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening, and its business is to reduce the duration of everyone's life. But the sunrise and sunset cannot diminish the life of one who engages in Krishna consciousness. Svayambhuva Manu's life did not become stale after some time, for he engaged himself always in chanting about and meditating about Lord Vishnu. He was the greatest yogi because he never wasted his time. It is especially mentioned here, Vishnu Kuruvato Bhuvata Kata. When he talked only of Krishna and Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. When he heard something, it was about Krishna. When he meditated, it was upon Krishna and his activities. It is stated that his life was very long, 71 yugas. One yuga is completed in a span of 4,320,000 years. 71 of such yugas is the duration of the life of a manu, and 14 such manus come and go in one day of Brahma. For the entire duration of his life, 4,320,000 multiplied by 71 years, manu engaged in Krishna consciousness, by chanting, hearing, talking about, and meditating upon Krishna. Therefore, his life was not wasted, nor did it become stale. Rayati yama tasya san, yama svandhara yapana, srinvato dhyayato vishnu kuruvato bhruvata kata. Consequently, although his duration of life gradually came to an end, his long life consisting of a mambantara era was not spent in vain, since he ever engaged in hearing, contemplating, writing down, and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. Umagyanidmarandasya gyanangana salakaya chaksurunbalatam yena tasmaya shi gurve namaha sri chaitanya manomistam shapitam yena bhutale sayam rupa gathamayam datati swam patantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garada Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that a specially prepared food is very tasteful, but if kept for 3 or 4 hours it becomes stale and tasteless. So the existence of material enjoyment can endure as long as life is fresh. But at the fag end of life, everything becomes tasteless and everything appears to be vain and painful. So that is the nature of matter. Matter has 6 different transformations. And in the beginning, it develops. First of all, there is creation and development. Creation, development, and some sustenance is there. Just like our bodies are created at a certain time, then they develop. In the beginning of development, there is always some freshness, something fresh. The nature of matter is that in the beginning it appears like nectar, Krishna says. It always appears like nectar. So some attraction is there in matter, just like our bodies when they're nice and young, spring chickens, isn't it? They call it women spring chickens. When they're young, they have some spring. What is the meaning of spring? It means that they have some youthfulness. But then when they get old, they say, you're no longer a spring chicken, isn't it? When they get old, the same body, the same person is there, but the body becomes old, the construction of the body all deteriorates. Deteriorates because of the influence of time. So this time factor is the deteriorating factor. It's the deteriorating factor because everything we know deteriorates by time. So therefore, in the material world, there is what we call past, present, and future. So what they say, trust no future, however pleasant. Trust no future, however pleasant, because future generally means deterioration. Although everyone hopes that it's going to mean things are going to get better. Isn't it? There's always the anticipation, anticipating, psychology of anticipation, that things will get better. But it's ludicrous, because as soon as you go over the age of 30 and 40, things are all downhill, because your body will deteriorate. Isn't it? How can it get better? So how can things get better when the deterioration is there? It's like if you buy a sweater, is it going to get better? You may get more fond of it, but the sweater is not going to get any better. A car doesn't get better by age. Nothing gets better by age, because everything deteriorates by age. So therefore, the deterioration of matter, this is the staleness. What is the saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. As soon as you become familiar with matter, you become contemptuous. Isn't it? Just like when people meet together, oh, how are you? Oh, great to see you again. Oh, it's wonderful. Hey, you're looking good. Oh, yeah. And then after a while, they get bored stiff with each other. Once all the novelty is gone, then they have to get down to the reality of relating with each other. And then they become too familiar. Familiarity means when one becomes aware of the limitation of the particular exercise. When one realizes how limited this whole experience is, then you become contemptuous. Hate. You actually start to hate the situation you're in. You find this very often with marriages. In the beginning, nice two little spring chickens. The male has a nice springy body. The woman has a nice springy body. So they're very attracted to each other. And they have very active sex life and very active activities. They bounce around all over the place, going here, going there, going on holidays, enjoying life, clubbing it, whatever they do, going to shopping sprees and intoxicating sprees, eating sprees, sleeping sprees, isn't it? So they go through all these different activities because they're very active. But then after a while, and more they become contemptuous, because they realize, who have I married? Who is this boring character? And then the woman is thinking, this guy is so boring. And he's thinking, gosh, she's so ugly. Why did I ever marry her? I could have found someone much more lovely than that. So this is the deterioration. In the beginning, Krishna says it starts like nectar. The material world begins like nectar. There's always the anticipation, what we call expectant psychology. Expectant psychology. We are always expecting, hoping against hope. So therefore we think that, oh, this what I'm doing is going to get very nectarine. I can see there's a lot of happiness down this road. I'm going to have a great time. I mean, I'm really going to enjoy life. I can see this is it. I've made the right moves. I've done the right things. Everything's falling into place. Just like I hoped. So that expectancy psychology, this is the illusion of Maya, because the living entity is always cheating. The cheaters and the cheated. We cheat ourselves because we are in ignorance. We are not actually seeing the reality. So therefore we are simply living in the castle in the sky, phantasmagoria of illusion, of creating a castle in the sky. Just like sometimes also people make castles on the beach. And then gradually the tide moves in and the whole thing's destroyed. So similarly in the material world, people are very, very anxious to create some sort of permanency. I was given an example in Nairobi. It's just like when, you know, underneath the material energy, there is this shifting belt. It's like a conveyor belt. When you come sometimes to the airport, your baggage is coming out on a conveyor belt, but it's moving. So everyone's trying to grab something, but sometimes you see where a person, there's so many people and they can't quite grab it quick enough because it moves. It's moving so quickly. So they actually end up either having to let it go or they fall onto the conveyor belt or they trip over because the thing itself is shifting. The bag is steady, but the thing it's on is shifting. They want to remove the bag from the conveyor belt, but the point is that the speed or circumstances of the movement causes inconvenience to the person because that particular thing that they want is moving, is shifting. So the material world is like that. It appears to be a reality because we can see it, we can feel it, we can taste it, we can touch it, we can smell it. So therefore, it appears to be a reality. We can say, well, so much philosophy, but I just know what I can see, what I can feel, what I can taste, what I can smell, what I can touch. These are the things that give me pleasure. These are the things that make up my life. All these other things are all very fine, talking about them. But I want what I can get hold of right now. So this is called prayas and srayas. Prayas means the immediate thing. This is animal life. Animal life means the immediate thing. Because an animal has no intelligence. Animal has no intelligence, so he automatically feels, if I can get something in my belly, that's important. Just like an idiot, a fool. He'll work for practically nothing, because that's immediate. He has no brains. So if he gets a job, even if it's only 10 pounds a day, or 5 pounds, he'll work, because that's immediate. But he doesn't have the brain to understand, I could be working like this for years, unless I do something intelligent. Therefore, sudra. Sudra means one who is less intelligent. He has to take shelter of something else because he doesn't have any brain substance. So similarly, that one who is not intelligent, he does not properly study the immediate problem. The immediate problem is that all of this energy is shifting, moving. Just like that conveyor belt. The people want, they want that thing that's on the belt, but the awkwardness is that it's moving very fast and they can't grab it. They can't catch it. Or the object is too heavy to lift off. So what they're trying to do is to remove their luggage from the belt. Then they can have some control over it. While it's on that belt, you're in a very precarious because it's shifting. So you want to remove it. Similarly, for us to actually enjoy, we have to remove the element of time. You have to remove the element of time because as long as you've got time, you've got transformation. As long as you have transformation, there's no permanence. Isn't it? As long as you have transformation, you have no permanence. Just like your body is a very good example. As long as it's transforming itself, you can never say you're going to be happy because tomorrow you wake up, you've got a headache. That body that you feel in the morning is different from the body of noon, different from the body of the evening. The thoughts that you entertain at breakfast time are different from the thoughts at lunchtime, different from the thoughts in the evening. We have a practical example. You wake up in the morning, you feel great. Oh, Hari Bom, Jai, Hari Bom, bliss nectar. Then you get out on the street. You see whatever, you do whatever, then after a while the modes take over, you're miserable, you're doubtful, you wonder what the heck I'm doing all this for anyway. I should have took up engineering at college or whatever. So many things are going through the mind. And then by the end of the day, depression has set in. suicidal tendencies, complete misery, because the mind is always chanchala, always shifting in its association with matter. Mind is like a reservoir. Whatever comes in, it entertains, it contemplates. But because that things are always changing that are coming in, therefore mind cannot be happy, because if something bad comes in, it's miserable. If something good comes in, it's happy. The mind is completely dependent upon what? Phenomena. The engagement of the mind with the material energy is the cause of happiness and stress. Therefore Krishna says, Matrishparsha Tukuntaya Shitoshna Sukha Tukuntaya. That sometimes you will get some sukha arrangement, happiness, and sometimes dukkha arrangement happen. According to what? According to influence of time and motion. Isn't it? These are the two things, time and motion. Everything is on the motion, influenced by the energy of time. So therefore, in your mind, sometimes some nice, happy things come in and you feel elated, you feel inspired, you feel nectarine, you feel bliss, you feel so many things, and then all of a sudden some horrible thing comes in, and again the mind gets a bit shaky, tottering, starts to crumble, and then all of a sudden some bad thing happens. And then gradually you see how people are living. They get up in the morning, they have their colored cornflakes, they watch their nice breakfast TV, and the woman's telling you, wonderful day today, this happened, that happened. So they think that let's give the news, because the news should enliven everyone. Here is the news. 10 people crushed on the motorway M1. There are traffic jams in central London. There's this, that, that. So by the time the people have all this stuff come into their head, you know, 80 people commit suicide in some new cult or whatever. Something comes in, then immediately their mind starts thinking, oh my goodness. Then they get out, the weather, miserable. So immediately, the weather's miserable, they become depressed. Then they get stuck in a traffic jam, they're late for work, they get into more anxiety. So what started off as a very nice beginning, now is getting more and more and more and more disturbing. By the time they reach work, someone says the wrong thing to them, they start an argument, they start fighting, shouting, goodness knows what happens. And then by lunchtime, they need a break, they've got to get out of the office, they've got to go, so they go in and they drown a few pints of lager or beer or have a few shots of whiskey in them just to keep their spirits up. But that again depresses the nervous system, so again they become more depressed. By the time they get home, they're manic. And sometimes, which is quite often, they end up slapping the kids or beating the wife or doing something crazy. And then after a while, they just stick a hose in the back of their car and call it a day. Because in the material world, we are always victimized by the external. And there's very nice prayers. Lord Shiva is actually explaining in his prayers. These are called chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. He's talking to the sons of King... never pronounced that name. Krishni Garba. So he says that, my dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. This will bring you all good fortune, for the Lord will be very much pleased with you. My dear Lord, after creating by your own potencies, you enter within the creation in four kinds of forms, being within the hearts of the living entities. You know them and know how they are enjoying their senses. The so-called happiness of this material creation is exactly like the bee's enjoyment of honey after it has been collected in the honeycomb. So Prabhupada says, the material cosmic manifestation is an exhibition of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because dull matter cannot work independently, the Lord Himself enters within this material creation in the form of a partial expansion, Paramatma. And He enters also by a separated part and parcels, the living entities. In other words, both the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered into the material creation just to make it active. Remaining within the hearts of all living entities, the Lord bestows remembrance by which the living entity can enjoy certain things. Thus the living entity creates their enjoyable honeycombs and then enjoy them. The examples of the bees is appropriate because the bees try to enjoy their honeycomb. They have to suffer the bites of other bees. Because bees bite one another when they enjoy honey. They are not exclusively enjoying the sweetness of the honey, but there is also suffering. In other words, the living entities are subjected to the pains and pleasures of material enjoyment, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing their plans for sense enjoyment, is aloof from them. Thus the Lord simply witnesses and gives the living entity sanction for sense enjoyment. It is the Paramatma who also gives the intelligence by which the bees can construct a hive, collect honey from various flowers, store it, and enjoy it. Although the Paramatma is aloof from the living entity, he knows their intentions, and he gives them facilities by which they can enjoy or suffer the results of their actions. Human society is exactly like a beehive, for everyone is engaged in collecting honey from various flowers or collecting money from various sources and creating large empires for common enjoyment. However, after these empires are created, the bites of other nations have to be suffered. Sometimes nations declare war upon one another and the human beehives become sources of miseries. Although human beings are creating their beehives in order to enjoy the sweetness of the senses, they are at the same time suffering from the bites of other persons or other nations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead as Paramatma is simply witnessing all these activities. The conclusion is that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the jivas enter into the material world. However, the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is worshipable because he has arranged for the happiness of the living entity in the material world. My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced. This is another verse. But one can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything has been destroyed in due course of time. The force of time is very strong and everything has been destroyed by something else. Just as one animal has been eaten by another animal, time scatters everything, exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky. My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with a desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity, but your Lordship is always alert. And in due course of time, you strike him, just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. So here it is said that everyone is greedy and everyone makes plans for material enjoyment. In his lust for material enjoyment, the living entity is described as a madman. The atheists are unintelligent men. Everything is enacted by the laws of nature, and these laws are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The atheists are unintelligent men, do not know this. They are busy making their own plans, and big nations are busy expanding their empires. And yet we know that in due course of time, many empires have come into existence and been destroyed. Many aristocratic families were created by people in their extreme madness. But we can see that in the course of time, those families and empires have all been destroyed. But still the foolish atheists do not accept the supreme authority of the Lord. Such foolish people unnecessarily concoct their own duties without referring to the supreme authority of the Lord. The so-called political leaders are busy making plans to advance the material prosperity of their nation. But factually, those political leaders only want an exalted position for themselves. Due to their greed for material position, they falsely present themselves as leaders before the people and collect their votes, although they are completely under the grips of the laws of material nature. These are some of the faults of modern civilization. Without taking to God consciousness and accepting the authority of the Lord, the living entity becomes ultimately confused and frustrated in their plan-making attempts. Due to their unauthorized plans for economic development, the price of commodities is rising daily all over the world, so much so that it has become difficult for the poorer classes and they are suffering the consequences. Consequently, the suffering of the people are increasing. According to the laws of nature, which are backed by the Lord, nothing can be permanent within the material world. Therefore, everyone should be allowed to take shelter of the absolute truth in order to be saved. My dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. This will bring all good fortune, for the Lord will be very much pleased with you. Therefore, O sons of the king, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon him continuously. But that is the instructions of Lord Shiva. And here also we see that Manu was a very powerful and saintly king. And therefore, the king, as a saintly king, he showed the perfect example how one should not be dragged down, one should not be degraded by attachment to the external arrangements of the material world. So this is the difference between one who is in a contaminated consciousness and one who is in a pure consciousness. Those who are in contaminated consciousness, they are very much attracted by the enamor of the external world. They actually think that this phenomena, material energy, has some sort of happiness or some sort of facilities by which one can actually find some peace of mind, some inner peace. But this is ludicrous, because the material energy itself is always chancha, always changing. The mind is always changing, the body is always changing, circumstances are always changing. So how can one find permanence? How can one, even if one finds some happiness, one is not arguing, one may find some happiness. Isn't it, Ravi? Some people do find happiness, but that does not mean it lasts. So unless one has guarantee of permanence, how can one actually say that he can be happy in the material world? So therefore, we have to understand where does happiness actually come from? Because that is the actual thing that people want. Where does peace come from? Peace can only come if you're in control. How can you have peacefulness if you're not in control? Because what does, just like you can understand, people are happy in their house because in their house they control. But as soon as there's disturbance, what does it mean? Disturbance in the order of control. Isn't it, Ravi? As soon as there's disturbance in control, then there's no peace. You look at your own personal life. As long as you think you're in control, you feel a little peaceful. As soon as someone is disturbing you, as soon as someone is agitating you by taking over control, by bullying you, pushing you, bringing you into some sort of slavery or dominance, you become disturbed. You become in anxiety because you're not guaranteed of any peacefulness. Whether this person has your real interest at heart, whether they will allow you to be happy. So without control, how can there be any question of peace? And without peace, how can there be any happiness? One can't even control his own mind. So where is the question? Where is the logical question of peace if you can't control your mind? Isn't it? Because the very thing, what is peacefulness? Peacefulness is a state of mind, the state of the heart. But if the mind is agitated and disturbed, then how can there be any peace? And without peacefulness, how can there be happiness? So therefore, Krishna consciousness is the science of understanding that all control, bhuktaram yagna tapasyam, that all control comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That He is the Ishvara Parama, because He is the Supreme Controller. Because He is the controller, He is also the controller of all shifting phenomena, time, energies. Krishna says, just as pearls are strung on a thread, similarly all of this energy is resting on Him. So therefore, only He can bring about a state of actual perfect peace and harmony. Therefore we can understand that unless one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of finding happiness in the material world. Because in the material world, one is actually serving Krishna indirectly We are also servants of Krishna. We are very sincere in our service, because service means subjugation. We are subjects. We have been subjected by various laws, rules, various types of authority. Isn't it? We are being subjected now. We may say that I don't want to be subjected to God, but then again we are subjected to time, old age, birth, disease, death. We are subjected to miseries from material energy, miseries of the mind, miseries of the body, miseries from other people. Our bodies itself, we can't even keep them even situated for a few moments. They start doing things that we don't even know that they shouldn't be doing, isn't it? Because we have no control. We are pathetic. Our position is very pathetic. We sit down, we fall asleep. We didn't want to fall asleep, but we fall asleep. Because we don't have any control. Because we are subjected. We are subjected occupiers of a particular type of prakriti kriyamanani. According to prakriti kriyamanani, we are given a particular type of body, particular type of mind, particular type of nose, mouth, senses, a particular type of energy in the form of sometimes passionate body, ignorant body, miserable body, happy body, whatever. So these are all subjugation of material energy. So we are already subjected to the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All Krishna consciousness is saying is that we should become subjected to Krishna directly. Why be satisfied with being the subject of, just like if a man is beating you with a stick, is it the stick that's beating you or the man? Isn't it? So if you want the stick to stop beating you, better to talk to the man. No good talking to the stick. Is it? Suppose the stick is beating you very heavily on your back and you say, "Oh, my dear stick, listen, hey, come on, you know. Stop hitting my back. Why don't you hit my legs instead? Or make some adjustment with the stick." But why don't you just talk to the person who's beating you and say, "Oh, please, stop beating me." Because they're the one that's the problem, not the stick. So material energy is working under my direction, Krishna says. So therefore we should approach Krishna directly. That's why Krishna says, anyone who surrenders unto me, immediately I will give him protection. Do not fear. This insurmountable material energy becomes immediately reduced. Samasritaye parapalava plavam mahamatam punyam so marari, that this ocean, the material energy, is like a vast, gigantic ocean. But as soon as one surrenders unto Murari, Krishna, then it becomes reduced like the water in the footprint of a car. According to his direction, Krishna's direction. So therefore, this is why the great kings like Svayambhuva Manu showed the practical example that by regularly hearing, chanting, remembering, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is the result? That one automatically achieves, causes knowledge and detachment from this world. This is the important thing. It is not that one can change material energy. Birth will still be there, old age will still be there. But one achieves, causes knowledge and detachment. Detachment means one becomes transcendental. It says here that as soon as irrevocable loving service, it says by regularly attendance in class of Bhagavatam and by rendering service to pure devotee, all that is troublesome to heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service under the personality of Godhead, whose praise of transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. These are the things which keep you attached to the beating of the stick. Material energy is there to beat you. So as long as you're attached to this material energy, then you will constantly be beaten. But by regularly hearing of the Bhagavatam, by hearing the transcendental knowledge, by hearing the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, then immediately all of these things, lust, desire and hankering, they disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. This happiness does not mean a material adjustment. It is not a material adjustment. It is a spiritual realization. Material adjustments are only temporary stopgap measures. They do not actually bring about any positive result. But here it is talking about something much deeper. What is that? Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So the whole business of this hearing is to bring one to the platform of transcendental realization of the personality of Godhead. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of the fruit of actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. So this is the science of understanding that actually, as soon as one becomes Krishna conscious, then automatically, all of these material attachments, they become completely eradicated. They are a tight knot of material attachment. And then when this knot is eradicated, then one actually realizes the self as master. In other words, that Krishna is the supreme master and we are the servants of that master. So the servant of the master means the individual living entity, and Krishna as the supreme master. So then one directly renders transcendental loving service unto Krishna within the heart. So as that his contamination of association with the material world becomes completely reduced, nullified. So even though one may still be experiencing so many inconveniences of material life, but one is always joyful. Susukama, that this is susukam, where this rajavidya rajaguyam, bhavitam vidam uttamam, that this transcendental knowledge is the king of all education because it gives direct perception to the self by realization. So that realization of the self is the only means by which one can actually detach himself from the transitory experiences of the material world. Not only transitory, but limited. So therefore, Swayambhuva Manu, even though he lived for a huge duration of time, but he was never feeling hackneyed or stale or in any way, miserable, which is always increasing. If you chant Krishna, if you chant Hare Krishna for 1,000,000 years, you will want to go on chanting another 1,000,000 years. Can you imagine chanting something mundane for 71,000,000 multiplied by 4,320,000 years? Wouldn't you get a bit bored? So that is the potency of transcendental. In the transcendental absolute realm, all energy is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is always dynamic, unlimited, full of bliss and knowledge. Whereas in the material world, the energy is limited, temporary, full of misery and ignorance. Manu is the son of Lord Brahma. He is coming from Lord Brahma. So he is his guru. I understand his guru is Lord Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.